We've all heard the stories of the midlife crisis, the weird new hairstyle, the younger partner, the sports car. You might also be expecting your happiness to dip, at least for a while. But is it real and is it inevitable? New research is suggesting that we need to overhaul the stereotype and change the way we think about the midlife transition, because it is coming for all of us. Delise Hutchinson is a life satisfaction researcher and clinical psychologist from Deakin University in Melbourne, and she says we can take steps to manage our well-being in midlife. Delise, welcome.
Thank you for having me.
It's a pleasure. Delise, the midlife crisis is a real staple of pop culture, but is it a real thing?
Our research, we've been looking at life satisfaction for the past 18 years now and tracking well-being in Australian adults, suggests that there is a dip in well-being that is a real phenomenon, that it's not just a perception. In our latest research, we looked at the relationship between age and well-being, and we found a lower than average score for Australians in the 45 to 65 age bracket, particularly 45 to 55 was the way the lower scores were observed. Suggesting that that is a period where people are feeling a little bit less satisfied with their lives than at other times.
And how did you find this out? I imagine people just didn't flock to you and say, I'm unhappy in my life.
That's correct. Look, we've been tracking the well-being, as I said, for quite a period of time now. What we do is we essentially ask a group of Australians each year, around about 2,000, in a nationally representative survey. We've got all states and territories, rural, regional and city areas. And we ask them the same repeated questions with a few new ones each year as well. But essentially, we're really monitoring changes in well-being over that period of time. And over the years, we've come to have a very large database of well over 65,000 Australian adults. So it's quite a substantive piece of work that we've been doing for a fairly long period of time.
The well-being can be used in very vague ways. How do you reliably measure it? And what are we talking about when you're measuring it?
That's right. So initially when we developed the Wellbeing Index, we surveyed people and actually used our psychometric testing procedures to develop a reliable, valid measure that taps into what Australians think is important to them. So we do know that well-being can differ cross-culturally. But for Australians, we found that there were seven core domains that they indicated mattered for them. And I can run you through those. So they are relationships, the quality of your relationships with other people, so family, friends and significant others in your life, your standard of living, so having enough money to live and enjoy life, and also a sense of purpose and meaning in life and having some achievement in different areas, whether that's work or family or other areas. It can be different things to different people. In addition to that, we know that physical health matters, so that's another domain that Australians indicated was important to them, as well as personal safety, future security, and feeling connected to your community. And so those seven domains form the basis of the Wellbeing Index.
So which Australians are experiencing this midlife slump?
Well, as I said, it's the particularly the 45 to 55 age bracket where we see a dip in well-being. It is a dip just below average, so we need to keep that in mind. There are many people in that age bracket doing quite fine and very happy with their lives. But on balance, it is a lower than average score that we're seeing. And this isn't just in our latest survey. This has been replicated across a number of surveys and actually internationally. So we feel fairly confident that this is a rigorous result. As to why, we don't actually ask people as part of the survey, but I guess there are a number of environmental and contextual reasons that may play a role in explaining this dip. And they can include things like, for instance, increasing pressure during this period. It's often a time when people have heavy work commitments. They might take on more responsibility at work. People might be raising families. Also perhaps looking after their own parents as they head into the latter years of their life. And it's also one of the periods of life where people tend to have greater financial strain as well, often buying houses and having mortgages and debt and so forth to manage. So those kind of life contextual issues can bear down and add pressure to people's lives, which we think is explaining the dip for Australians.
And sometimes you see people raising a second family in a second life phase as well.
Most certainly, yes.
Delise, does it affect all groups equally? Are there differences, for example, between how men and women or gay people and straight people experience the midlife slump?
Look, in terms of men and women, we have found fairly equivalent scores. Women do tend to just slightly trump males in terms of their overall well-being, but it is a slight difference, only just a small difference that we see. So we need to, again, keep that in perspective. We haven't looked at other kinds of groups, but what we did do this year, because we're very interested in this dip in the 45 to 55-year-olds, we specifically had a deeper dive into the data and looked at that group. And we found that it actually comprised of two different groups, if you like, within that age bracket. One was a group that were doing generally quite well in life and reporting relatively good satisfaction with their lives. The other group, however, which was about one in eight of that group, really were struggling. And they reported things such as relationship difficulties. They tended to be more likely to be separated or divorced or unpartnered. They also had lower achievement in life. And they were characterised by a lot more financial strain, mortgages that they struggled to pay off, lower perceived financial control, and also generally lower incomes as well. So I think those factors combined really pulled down the wellbeing scores for that particular group. So whilst most adults are doing okay, there is a group that is struggling in that middle adult bracket.
Although Delise Hutchison's research is one of the biggest studies to look at this slump in the Australian context, others have examined it around the world. Jonathan Rausch is an award-winning journalist, a contributing editor at The Atlantic magazine, and author of The Happiness Curve, Why Life Gets Better After 50. Jonathan, welcome to Life Matters.
Happy to be here.
Now, when did you start looking at the Happiness U Curve?
Well, I experienced it. I had an inexplicable dip in my life satisfaction in my 40s. And then I began to learn about this new research that found this kind of shape, a dip in happiness, well-being, all over the world, and subsequently even in chimps and orangutans. And I realized that what was happening is a broad human phenomenon, that there was nothing wrong with me, that midlife crisis per se is a myth, but a midlife transition, a slump, is very common. And everything you've just heard about the research in Australia is consistent with now hundreds of other studies in countries and cultures around the world.
And that is comforting to some extent for a lot of people, I imagine. I'm Hilary Harper. You're listening to Life Matters, and we're talking about midlife with journalist Jonathan Rausch and psychologist Delise Hutchison. Was it a crisis or a slump for you? You can tell us about your experience on our Facebook page. Or you can SMS on 0418 226 576. And we have heard from Anna in Brisbane.
Just after I turned 50, my marriage ended. My husband, who I'd been with for 30 years, was unfaithful. So that wasn't part of my carefully devised life plan. My identity was tied up completely in that relationship. So I didn't know who I was if I wasn't his wife. I was grieving the end of my marriage like I would have grieved the death of a good friend. I wasn't sure what it was, but I felt like I was at the end. So what began as his midlife crisis really ended up becoming my midlife crisis. So I decided that I was going to move interstate alone. I got into my car and I filled it up and I left my husband and I left my house and I left my city and I left my life.
And Delise, we'll come back to what happened to Anna later, but her talk about having to reassess her identity is very powerful. Is her experience common?
Look, I think more and more these days it is common. Marital breakdown is, it's a very significant issue that we're facing, and it has many impacts. And I think that she's very brave in what she did. It's terribly sad, but what a brave story to get up and move and make a big change through that period.
And we'll find out how it turned out for her later. Jonathan, how did you experience this downturn? How did it feel for you?
It felt like, I call it a fog of disappointment or a drizzle of disappointment. I did very well objectively in meeting my goals in life in my 40s, yet I would wake up, especially in the mornings, with these voices buzzing in my head saying, you know, that I hadn't done anything worthwhile in my life, that I was trapped and that I needed to escape and do something different. And I knew that this was irrational, so I became alarmed about it. I thought maybe there was something wrong with me. I didn't tell anyone about it. All of those things make it much worse than it has to be. For some people, it does become a crisis. It's quite frequent. Most people actually just slog through it, which is what I did, without, in many cases, the support that they need. But some people make these severe, disruptive changes in life, and that can often lead to misery for themselves or the people that love them. And that's the story you just heard.
And Jonathan, you mentioned how objectively your life looked pretty good. Is it partly about your expectations of where you would be at that phase in your life and not having met them personally?
We think so. There's a lot more known about the fact of this midlife slump than about the reasons, but it seems to be three things going on at once. One is our expectations change. We're overly optimistic about happy success will make us in youth, and then that catches up with us in midlife. A second thing is our values change. We shift away from ambition earlier in life and towards social cooperation later in life, but in between there's the difficult sort of adjustment. And then the third thing is our brains change. This has been shown in multiple studies that as we shift through life, our brains in later life become more positive in outlook, but that transition has yet to occur in midlife. So it seems to be a combination of things.
So Jonathan, you're saying we're biologically primed to get a bit sadder in midlife.
It's harder to be happier in midlife, other things being equal. Now, of course, other things aren't equal, and a cancer diagnosis or a Nobel Prize, all of these other things affect happiness. But the way to think about it is the current in the river kind of shifts against contentment in middle age. So you have to fight a little bit harder to experience gratitude and satisfaction. The great news, and the other part of the study that's so important, is look where life satisfaction peaks. Again, not just in Australia, but worldwide. 65 to 75, the latest period of adulthood, tends to be the happiest.
Excellent. Something to look forward to. We talked before, Delise, about some of the stresses that can happen in midlife, the financial commitments and the family commitments. Let's hear from Maria in Northwest Victoria and get her perspective.
I had a serious back injury and had to leave my position as a nurse in aged care. I eventually did get a new job in a fashion boutique, but then we had roadworks in front of the boutique. I had to step out of my role. My mum died. My confidence hit low. A friend of mine started a group called Pause and Reset about helping people like me and others to get together and see what else that we could do to restart and find work. I also started volunteering at an organisation to try and improve healthcare for people. Connections were there, actually just getting out there and doing something that helped other people. And that showed me that you can get involved in something that gets you out of the slump.
So, Delise, Maria's job loss prompted her crisis, but you mentioned before it's affecting people across the board in all different areas of life, even people who aren't struggling financially. Why are they feeling the slump too?
Well, I think going back to what Jonathan was saying, I think that is a normative developmental phase. And so I really concur with what he's saying, that it's something that we can expect through that life period. Having said that, just picking up on the point there, there are things we can do. And I like the idea of this pause and reset, that we can stop and reflect and we can make changes and do things to help us work through these things. It's not that we inevitably have to face this and can't do anything about it. And connecting to the community is one of the best ways to do that, without doubt. We've certainly seen very consistently over the years higher well-being associated with volunteerism. But it doesn't have to be volunteering. There are many ways you can connect to the community. But that's one potential route for people to address feelings that they may be having in this area.
You also talked about the importance of a strong personal relationship. Does that have to be a romantic relationship, or can it be friendships or family relationships?
Certainly doesn't have to be romantic. It can be, but there are many other relationships that are important in our lives, and working on relationships is one of the core factors, perhaps one of the most important that we've seen in terms of helping people improve their well-being.
Jonathan, after you came out of your own slump when you started reviewing the research on the midlife crisis, you found the term was first coined in 1965, but then dismissed by psychologists as a myth. What led you to think it might be true after all?
Well, it wasn't actually me. I wish I could take credit, but it's an odd story. Yes, psychologists went looking for midlife crisis, and they didn't find a crisis because usually there isn't one. There's exactly what Delise found, which is kind of a slump, a reduction. And it popped up accidentally in global surveys of happiness that lots of economists started looking at, of all people, in the late 90s and early 2000s. They weren't looking for it. But in country after country, they kept finding this U-shaped life satisfaction curve. And that's what led to this resurgence of interest.
And it's not just a first world problem, is it too, Jonathan? That's another interesting thing that you found.
Yes, it's not just a first world problem. It's found in countries from Afghanistan to Zimbabwe. And it's also found in other higher primates. Chimpanzees and orangutans exhibit the same patterns. So that tells us something fairly fundamental is going on here, and that the way we need to think about midlife, even though it's a time for many people of great success and great responsibility, we also need to understand it as a time of vulnerability and transition. And what your caller said just now was so important. Delise said this too. The critical element is supporting each other. Midlife slump is not a me problem, it is a we problem.
Jonathan, I'm fascinated that it happens in apes as well. How did they react? Just go out and get a better tree?
I don't know how they reacted, but yeah, four populations of chimps and orangutans in three different countries. The same pattern appeared when the keepers were asked to monitor the well-being. There are various ways they can do that of their animals.
Now, Jonathan, you've talked about this midlife phase being more of a transition than a crisis, and that's certainly what helped Anna, who we heard from earlier. Here she is again.
I then decided to give my life meaning. I had to find out what I just really found joyful. So in no particular order, I joined a choir, I completed a master's degree, I began to get involved in social justice issues I was interested in. My children introduced me to online dating. I started a new profession. I bought myself a small house. I did all of those things over the course of the last 3 years. And it was terrifying and it was thrilling. And it made me feel young again. I'm not sure, but I feel like I'm at the beginning.
And Jonathan, Anna sounds like she found her own way out of her crisis. How does her experience and her strategies fit with your understanding of what it takes to get through this crisis the best way we can?
She did some important things right, which is she got in touch with her core values, the things she cared the most about, and reoriented her life to be more in touch with those values. Midlife slump is a values transition. As we said earlier, it's a shift from the youthful ambition and social climbing and wanting to have the great job and the house and all the things like that to a very different set of values. And the challenge is to adjust our lives and our expectations to those new values. But Anna, if I remember her name, was fortunate because it sounds like she did it on her own. That's very difficult. It's important to reach out, support groups, coaching, guidance, counseling, those are all things that can help us work through these problems. It's not something, it's not a DIY, do-it-yourself problem.
And Delise, you've talked about that too, the power of connection. Is there anything you'd like to add to the toolkit of strategies?
Look, I just really reiterate Jonathan's points. It is about reaching out and you know, what a miraculous story that she managed in 3 years to do so much and to make such a transition. I think it is about reaching out to friends, family and others. Contacting your GP if you're having difficulties is always a great first port of call because there might be different areas where you need help in life. But just coming back to one point too that Jonathan made about that transition. I think the generativity stage in latter life where we see well-being go up, Eric Erickson talked a lot about that in psychology, is something that we do know a lot about. And moving towards social justice and addressing your values in different ways, I would really concur, is one important strategy in that transition through midlife into latter life that people really should have in their mindset.
So we're not necessarily adjusting our expectations down, just possibly sideways. Thank you both so much. Jonathan Rausch is an award-winning journalist, contributing editor at The Atlantic magazine, and author of The Happiness Curve, Why Life Gets Better After 50. And Delise Hutchinson is a Deakin University life satisfaction researcher and clinical psychologist. I'm Hilary Harper, and you're listening to Life Matters.